Is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Foundation of Heart Grant is brought to you by Alive, Commonwealth Bank, Davinia Grill Foods, J.S. Johnson, Mobile Garage Technologies, Rev Bahamas, and Wendy's.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
What is that? Ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday. Bam! Warm and easy selector. It's a beautiful Friday, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant with the Foundation. It's a casual Friday, sort of a laid-back Friday, and I'm so happy to be in your company today. Listen, man, this week didn't go the way that I intended, right? I got a call from California. My cousin called me and said, listen, man, what's going on here? And I talked for maybe about 2 hours. Really talking about the sentiment and sort of a charged feel that's, through the radio. Not necessarily on my show or only on my show, but there's sort of a sentiment that's coming out that seems to kind of separate us, or wishes to segregate and separate us. So he and I talked for a very long time. And, it's that time again so we can be able to dive into the conversation. The lines are going to be wide open today. But before we do any of those things, I want to thank the persons that commit themselves and continue to do that. I make no kind of joke about this. I'm grateful, man. This is how we eat. This is how we feed the little children. I make no joke about this. Whilst I always enjoy this space, I kind of coming here and having conversations about, national issues, global issues, and the other, whatever we're talking about. At the end of the day, how we're measured is by the revenue that we bring in. Now, it shouldn't necessarily be, right? We know that our value exists beyond sort of the tangibles that we bring in, but we got to take care of our families. And I always want to be able to thank the persons that support the show. I really do. All the persons, and listen to me, I got to start writing your names down, right? Whether it's B5 Star, whether it's Shem Tech, whether it's Platinum Pastries, whether it's Tiki Hut, and today is Tiki Fridays, I might as well let you know. Whoever you are, wherever you are, I want to thank you for doing that. Even if you mustered something, to kind of put here and say, listen, I need a little piece. I appreciate you, man. I really do. I want to thank you so very kindly. And I'm going to do my best to kind of create a space to ensure that this is affordable for you, right? This is your show. This is your show. I want to thank all those persons and the major corporate sponsors that continue to be able to kind of dive into this space. We always support you. We always, run after your products and do those particular things. But I want to thank you also, right? So I thank all of you who could muster something and who has identified this slot to kind of be able to throw something behind it. I thank you so very kindly. I really do. And I hope that we can be able to build a significant relationship so we move into the future and make some things happen. I can carry this kind of a message of your products and these sort of an ideas that you have to make some things happen in your company, in your organizations. Thank you so very kindly. Today, like I said, is Tiki Fridays. Do you have a little shaken bell or something? Come on, man, Kermit. You didn't give me this pop song at the top of the thing.
right? I want to thank you, man. Listen, before we do that, let's talk about Tiki Fridays. Today, I just had an opportunity to be able to stop over to Byron. Beautiful place. He's getting the place all geared up. I'm asking him, Byron, what's going on tonight? And he says to me, it's going to be a mix and mingle, Howard, over at the Tiki Hut. Guys, you know where the nod when you pass right there by the police station, adjacent, right northern to it, on the most northern part, right there under the point, sits right there on the beach. Beautiful environment. Great. He got that table, almost like a serpentine table, an oval table that sits everyone. You could look in each other's faces and really be able to break down good conversation. Last time I sat in there, had me a nice virgin mojito. Listen, let me be decent. Stop it. Yes, I had a virgin mojito. Call it Byron Oxen. Beautiful. Sat down there. Had a good conversation. He started playing some old school rap. I'm singing the rap. This guy, I don't know where he was from. Oh, my God, man. Where you from, son? I'm from here. How do you know these songs, man? Listen, we've been ingesting this music for all of our lives. What do you mean? I know. I've never been to New York. I know all the five boroughs. I know everything. I can tell you what on the wall now. Right? We've been doing so much of the studies and the thing, right? But it was a good environment. It's an environment that you could meet people. It's an environment that you can kind of just lay back and make sure you go down to the Tiki Hut today and check that out. Like I said to you, a Mix and Mingle is going to be today from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. They have free hors d'oeuvres, right? And we ain't talking about no, you know, like when people invite you to a meeting, John, we're having a meeting. Come out to the meeting. We can have free food at the end of the meeting. Your children make a Wonder Bread sandwich with cheese and sausage, and then they cut it in four. All the little children handprint all over it at the back of your meeting. This isn't that. This isn't your cube sandwiches with your tuna and your corned beef sandwiches. This isn't that. This is free hors d'oeuvres, man. Professional. This is top tier. This is Tiki Hut style. 100%. We want you to be able to come down there. They got specialty drinks for you also. It's free hors d'oeuvres. Specialty drinks also. That you're going to get your Bahama Mama, your Tiki Voodoo drinks, your Blue Shark, and all the other, you know, favorites that you enjoy when you go into these particular spaces. Lay back, kick back, relax yourself. Take your sweet thing in the can with you. Come on, talk to me. I like to do it, right? As much as we could get rid of the kids. You know, whenever I get a chance to kind of get rid of my kids, right? Maybe my sister-in-law, my wife's sister, right? Somebody watch the kids. My wife and I go on a little ride. Yeah, we ride the city. We ride the whole, you know, the perimeter, right? Of Nassau. Just sitting down talking. It's sort of a time that we take together to, you know, decompress. That's what we do. So we sit down. Sometimes it's end up in row. And then I got to buy her a Kong salad. But nonetheless, it's time that we take out for each other, with each other. And we stopped at little places like this, you know, places that we, you know, like, it's like family. And so we always kind of stop and support Byron and what he's doing. And I'd like you to do that also. So today between 6 and 7 p.m., go down to Tiki Huts. Because today we're celebrating Tiki Hut and everything that Tiki Hut does with us. Free hors d'oeuvres, get your drinks and whatnot, and chill out with them. Also, the Vanyas, man. You guys got to check out the Vanyas. Greg has always been good. And he just wanted us to kind of know. Howard, let the people know where they can get their stuff from. So I said, Greg, what are you talking about? He says, listen, if they're looking for products, if they're looking for their stuff from the Vanyas, and we don't necessarily, they don't see it in the stores and whatnot, you know that they can go to the website and pick it up. Guys, you can go to the website and pick up all your stuff that you want. The website is www.devanyas.com. Devanyas.com. It's in the Kenneth Plaza on Prince Charles. The number you can give him a call, 817-4468, 817-4468. You can be able to pick up this stuff today. All these great products for you, and it goes well with some stuff. They will have a nice menu there for their grilled food and their products. It's really to be able to accentuate the products and let you know and give you a good taste of it. So they got some good stuff down there. You can check out the conch fritters, $7. You can check out the grilled chicken, wings and whatnot, $8. And I think these are good prices because, you know, everything has gone up. You know, it's gone up. I went to this nice place the other day to get some eggs. I said, Jesus, Lord, I don't think I need eggs no more. This is too expensive. I imagine this is too much for eggs. No. Right? So these are very, very good prices. You can be able to check it out. You get your crack onk and whatnot. I don't think I've seen a crack onk this affordable. I got to come down there and check one of your crack onk, Greg. right? Crack hunk is my thing, right? So you get your crack hunk, you get your jerk chicken, you get your jerk pork, you get your grilled pork, you get your hamburgers, jerk pork, jerk chicken burgers, grilled barbecue chicken, juices, sodas, bottled waters, the whole thing. You can be able to get something different. Enjoy yourself. And this might be a part of your little scenic route. Talk to me. I really don't rush to go home on Friday after I'm done with the kids. I pick up a pizza and I say, all right, today is Pizza Friday. Go home and, you know, they chill out, probably watch a movie or something on the weekend, right? But the wife and I, we try to do a little scenic route just to relax because we don't really get a time to decompress. I tell you, we're up from 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, right? I can't even cut up without talk to me. Somebody, talk to me. The little children kicking my door open, 4:30 in the morning. Daddy, I can't sleep. Listen, get out of my room, sir. What are you doing in here? I can't sleep, Daddy. Can I sleep with you? I can sleep with Mommy. Stop it. Amen. So you don't get a time. You need time to kind of relax with your sweet thing in the can with your significant other, right? Do that this weekend. Go over to Tiki Huts. Take a little ride around. Go check out the Vanyas. Check out these other spaces. Do something. Let's get the economy jumping again. Let's make some things happen. Go there. Check out my guys down there at Fish Fry. I haven't been to Fish Fry in a little while. I know this, Kasmir. I know y'all. Listen, Pink Pearl. I know Jimbo down there at Foxy's. I know Goldie. Goldie, and they cussing me, right? I know I haven't seen my good guys because, you know, I always go on the western side, right? This is kind of my area, right? And I haven't been there for a long time. The children got me busy. Don't fight me. The children got me busy. And so, you know, if you get the time, go check those things out. I always go over to Barbie on the eastern part of Montague. Have you been to Barbie? Barbie, listen, this is the last time we can talk about how good your conch salad is. This is the last time I can talk about your fresh fish and all those things. You got Cat Island cake down there, your Cat Island bread, the whole thing. You can go down to Barbie and really get an authentic. We used to go down to Barbie and she would cook something really nice for you. My wife always used to enjoy that. It's real authentic home, but she stopped cooking for a little while. Hopefully she brings that back again. But every time we went down there, I was amazed to see that, you know, local persons can give such a rich, authentic Bahamian experience to international persons, to people who come in from all over the world. The taxi drivers used to kind of rush down there to go to Barbie, and Barbie would give them an experience, sell them a conch shell. Barbie, I don't know, them conch shell is expensive, right? I'm not going to fight you, right? But it's down there. You can be able to check that out. Guys, go into the communities. We cannot allow crime and even the fear of crime to cause us to cower under our beds. Stop it. Yeah, you got to be smart about where you're going. You got to know what time you're going, but you got to go. Because our community will implode, crumble into itself if we don't participate in what we need to. Talk to me. Let's be very clear about this thing. Talk to me. I always take my little sweet thing in the can and go out. It's my wife. I don't have no other woman. I don't cut up with nobody woman. I carry my wife out and enjoy myself with her the most I can. I probably, if we out for 4 hours, I know I can get a good half an hour enjoyment out of that. And next 3.5 hours, she can tell me, Listen, this is 20 years we've been together. I love the woman with my whole heart. But, you know, sometimes it's getting rowdy. You will fight for that. We have a good time, guys. And I want you to do that. I want you to be able to enjoy yourselves this weekend. It's a beautiful weekend, man. We're coming to the point where we want to have a conversation about International Women's Day, right? International Women's Day. We want to be able to talk about that. It's going to be March 8th, International Women's Day. So if your organization wishes to identify someone, maybe you surprised them. Maybe this has been a diligent person who has been committed to work and professionalism and posture that has really shaped the narrative and what the expectations and sort of the caliber. The bar. They raised the bar for professionalism in the office. They've been doing that for years. I can tell you my mother-in-law has done that within the organization. She was in immigration. She passed away. We talked about this before. She passed away, but she has been really professionalism within her office for as long as she's been there. And if that's someone in your organization that you wish to sort of amplify and really speak about them, even if you do that in secret, give us a call, 302-2300. I really would like to have a conversation next week with Janet Boswick. I didn't say that to her. I tried to call her the other day. She blue-ticked me. I didn't get her just yet. I'll give her a call or give her son a call. But I'd love to have a conversation with her, because what she would have said when she was the recipient of the award for, I think it was CARICOM, was it CARICOM the other day? What she would have said ringed in my head significantly. I have not shaken the thing yet. We talked to Dr. Jacinta Higgs, and she told us about what they were doing in this kind of a concept over at Catherine. And so, you know, it just kind of spilled into this conversation about Janet Boswick. And I would love to interview her next week, Wednesday, on International Women's Day. And not necessarily grill her, but to have such strong opinions. And not necessarily, these are opinions that are progressive and spill into the future, deep into the future, right? These aren't traditional opinions that are rooted and grounded in a form of glory. These are progressive, no pun intended, no attachment politically. And to have this kind of a conversation, because essentially what she was saying is that before you could empower, identify, and sort of amplify any of these subsections, there must be a focus, concentrated focus, and I surmise what she says, a concentrated focus on women. This is wild. Monday, Dazzy's going to be in the show with us, for sure. Dazzy's going to be in the show with us. And so we're going to be talking, you know, women next week. Dazzy's going to be in the show with us. And so while she's on the show, I need to know more things. I need to know from a youth perspective the mindset associated with this, because I'm just baffled at the idea that there's so many women. The linkage and commitment for the women's suffrage in the early 1960s and what it has done in creating this block and concept, after that was done, it seems as though there was an idea of victory and the expectation that the battle is over. Is the battle over? And so the question that I'd like to ask is whether during this particular time, after the women's suffrage, after, you know, women were given an opportunity to be able to vote, did you feel victorious to that point where you felt, okay, the battle is over? Was there a man somewhere in the midst speaking to leadership that says, well, good God, you didn't got the thing, eh? What else you want? What else you want? Was that one of the issues that caused you to put down this fight? Because there needs to be perpetual liberation. And that spirit that existed in the women during this time to find themselves counted and identified as a part of humanity. After you've been counted, you just let the thing go? I got to talk to you about it. I got to talk about this. We got to talk about this because I believe this is situated by men. I'm baffled by the fact that in government sector, in the private sector, where there is significant success in climbing to the pinnacle of the organization, a woman is there. A woman, and this is not just because of the numbers, the demographic that exists in our country. This is not just because there are a lot of women here. This is because a fire and desire that continues to be able to push them at the pinnacle. Almost one of those things that say, don't dare say a woman can't do this. Watch me. And they're pushing. And so when you open up your newspaper, watch next week. When you open up your newspaper, all you can see is women, 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 women. And then we come to politics and you have these men. And I can't show all the men in one bucket. But these archaic concepts that cling to not just... It clings to an idea that doesn't feed the country, that doesn't feed their political organization, and relentlessly, perpetually places them on a pedestal. As men, they want to be seen as gods. Don't let a thing happen. How? Oh my God, we got to push this thing back. Because the strength I know comes from my mother and my grandmother. Can we talk like that? the strength that I know, that I'm familiar with, that I push forward because of my mother and grandmother. How many men out here can say that? Yes, we learn this kind of a stern position and our posture and how to be able to attack and approach something from our fathers. But in terms of the duality of understanding even our softer side to articulate, to communicate, and the importance of being able to do these, this is what we learn from our mothers. Why does it fall down with you? So we want to have that conversation. I also want to talk to you, Professor. Next week, I think we're going to try to get you in there. Despite the fact that we're going to be talking with women, I kind of set something up for you to be able to come with me. Let's see if we can do it on Tuesday next week, Professor. If you're listening to me, let's see if we can do it on Tuesday, because I have a significant conversation to have with you, man. I do. You, for the past 3 days, had me reading every article like a touch. Every constitutional article that you, and listen to me, I all in the back of the historian books and everything, I all over calling librarians the final information so we could talk. Because you perpetuate the idea of a constitution that doesn't even belong to us. Talk to me. Oh my God. Next week we can talk like this. A concepted and been given, that's been read to us, that we hold up, that no significant modifications have been made to it post-73. No significant. The articles say that. No significant modifications have been made to this Constitution, but we perpetuate this as an idea of independence. But you know what? We don't have independence. That's the conversation. And that's one of the things that's rang through my head through the since we had this conversation, since the inflection of when we spoke, I have not stopped reading up till 1-2 o'clock in the morning. I have not stopped reading. Because I know that we do have interdependence. Just like the women's suffrage movement, after we would have attained that one step, that incremental step that got us into the door in the hallway, we are in the proverbial vestibule. That's all this is. We are in the hallway before you get into the sanctum. And after we've gotten here and we feel that we don't have any rainwater falling on us no more, we feel like we're in the thing. We're in it. Let's talk like this. I want to talk with you next week. Because we cannot continue to be able to feed this idea to the next generation. That what our forefathers have signed off on is what's going to carry us into tomorrow. I think we've lost our way. Or, let me fix that. Not necessarily lost our way. I think we can fortify our constitutional position and unify our community by identifying strategically what needs to be strengthened in this constitution that reflects a community here and now. I think so. The community that exists here and now. I see the lines lighting up. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 422-4796. Hit me up with a text. Let's have this kind of a conversation if you want to do that. I am here. I am ready for it today. I am. Because this is wild to me. We have interdependence and yet we continue to be able to accentuate and glorify this idea, but the only thing that we've had in this country is interdependence. The ability to shift white faces to black because of the majority rule that existed here. But as it relates to independence, I guess. Howard, can you let the public know if gender equality is the same thing as gender equity? Is there a difference, and what is it? I want to read something before we get into that. I told you I did my... I had to because there needs not be a time where we continue to accentuate these concepts and ideas of yesteryear. Let's read this little piece right here. What is the difference? Watch me. And we talk like this, right? What is the difference between independence and interdependence. Watch me. Let's read a little piece. Let's go. And this is from Quora.com. So it's just like a search engine you find this information on. And it said dependence has to do with relying upon our being controlled by someone. This is dependence. It has to do with relying upon or being controlled by someone. Pets and children, for instance, are dependent upon their owners / parents. Independence, let's read it. Mutually dependent, but with options. Watch it. Sorry, let's just read independence again. Independence has to do with not relying upon, not being controlled by, or even controllable. That's independence. Not relying upon, not being controlled by, or even controllable. That's independence. Interdependence. 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 Mutually dependent, but with options and reciprocity. And without control. Stop it. Yes, we could hoot and holler and kind of clap and be excited about this kind of concept of what we're celebrating in the 50th year. But when are we going to come to the reality and really have a conversation to fix the next 50 years? We got to get back to community. We got to get back to being able to infuse a true sense of hope. We got to get back to our own ownership. We got to get back to autonomy. You know that we don't have autonomy in this country. And when are we going to be real about that? We do not have autonomy in this country. If we have to relentlessly genuflect and change our language, shapeshift like a pretzel in the space of international persons without being able to stand firm. Yes, we can always be able to be professional. But if we have to shapeshift to ensure that we don't offend X one, this person or that one, we don't have independence. And we don't have autonomy. And if we don't realize those things, all we're doing is playing a futile game, a game with no end in sight, a game with no goal. We just run in the fields. Let's have a real conversation about the thing. The lines are open. We can talk about anything that you want. Make sure you pick up your Guardian paper today. 3-strike rules for immigration breach. Bell says that employees should go to court on the third violation. I disagree. They should go to court on the first one and go to jail. I'm not going to fight them. Building rededication renamed to Edwin Smith. You can be able to read that in the papers. Pick it up. Davo, chronic hospital patients, they're straining the system. That's wild that he says that. And police launching sex crimes and domestic violence unit. This is crazy. Reactive. Let's get some telephone calls in there. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Hit me up on the text, 422-4796. We're going to take a quick commercial break and be right back after this.
This coming Friday, our police going to open up lawn. You went to see my number one sound round town. I did some Friday evening. Boom! The people them tired of working. Fana, Lord, them hear the disco playing. Boom!
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in
in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with The Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
With so much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you, on the move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
Carifta is almost here, and Alive has partnered with TCL for you to capture gold at the 2023 Carifta Games. Switch to Alive and get a free TCL 30 Plus or TCL 30 SE on select Alive postpaid plans to share pictures and videos of our Bahamian athletes as they hit the tracks to win gold. Visit your nearest Alive store or mobile van location and come gold with us at the 2023 Carifta Games.
Whether your business is in-store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Excuse me for the interruption. Boy, come and the way reminded to say, this coming Friday, I'm please gonna roll the lawn. You went to see my number one town round town. I did some Friday evening. Boom! The people them tired of working. And them hear the disco playing. Boom! It made them feel like that.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Guardian Radio on this beautiful Friday, laid-back Friday. Make sure you check out the Tiki Yet. Somebody just texted me and says, Howard, I'm doing a little staycation at Margaritaville tomorrow. So you're saying I should pass by Tiki Yet tomorrow instead of the hotel restaurant to check out the food? Think if I tell them I came because of Howard Grant, they'd give me a discount? Absolutely. No, LOL. You put LOL, but absolutely. You tell Byron Howard. Byron, I was listening to Howard's show. You tell me you got the best thing I'm here. Whatever you like, right? tell him, man. He got the best, whatever you like. You put it right there. And Byron will definitely take care of you and accommodate you accordingly. That's a beautiful weekend. And it's a great day for you to chill out. Go by the sea and relax yourself. Hopefully you're taking a staycation by yourself. Take a sweet thing with you and go and do that. And relax yourself, man. Do that, right? I want to read something, man. I want to read something. That's a telephone call, guys. You know what to do. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Hit me up on the text line, 422-4796. Many local political historians believe that in June 1st, 1942, marked the beginning of the modern political history of the Bahamas. The events of the Burman Road riot came as a result of the agitation by laborers for equal pay and for equal work. regardless of the colors of their nationality. As you know, a satellite airfield was being constructed in the western New Providence for the use of the American Armed Forces. A labor dispute ensued over the equal pay, and this dispute took on a life of its own and became immediately interwoven with the overall movement for freedom and social justice. When my cousin called me, I had to tell him this. When he called me and said that he sees something brewing, and I said to him, life is certain. And so whatever happened 100 years ago, there's an expectation that the thing will come back now. History says that to you. If you don't believe nothing else, just read. All you got to do is read. Read 100 years back. Read 60 years back. You will see the exact same thing happening in our society. The exact same thing. The conversation, and he says, why then, he asked me, right? He said, why are Bahamians consumed with identifying? He said, the majority of the money in the Bahamas is owned by and controlled by 5% of the population. I said, okay. He said, there is economic disparity, but you wouldn't look at that 5% for liberty. You're only looking at the 95%, which is the working class. I said, the difficulty in looking up is our conditioning. We've been conditioned to genuflect, whether you know it or not. Many of us kind of try to shift ourselves away from that conditioning. But many of us have been conditioned to genuflect. When we see a person of a lighter hue, we treat them like tourists. That's why we get this kind of a label. We're good slaves. We treat them like this, right? And that conditioning and that genuflecting didn't negate the fact that during this time, we still had the idea of liberation in our hearts. We still had the idea of being able to get to a better place in a better position. We still wanted education. And the only thing that we see is people working side by side with us, doing the exact same jobs and getting paid more. How the hell could this possibly be? That's where the big fight come in. And that is what's happening right now. Let's take a telephone call. Caller, you're on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Fantastic, man. What's happening?
A pendaginal.
Okay.
You say you used to live... Okay.
I'm from 8 Mile Rock, but Pinnace Point is my people.
I mean 8 Mile Rock, man. Yeah. Like I say, 8 Mile Rock. Sorry about that. 8 Mile
All
Rock,
is one.
Man.
All is just one.
Yeah. So you know where the Seaside Club was? I mean, restaurant was there?
In 8 Mile Rock?
Yeah.
I think my mom and them talk about it. They show me it. It's not there anymore.
Oh.
It's not there anymore. It's only like relics. They changed it over the years, but it's not there anymore.
But you from 8 Mile Rock, you're familiar where it was, though.
Yeah, I know it was.
And then you know where you were. You at the time when all the blue houses used to be on the main strip there?
Yes. Well, I came right after that, but they, Grammy and my grandfather, they would always tell me the history of this, whether it's the green leaf, where all these things, they keep telling you the history that exists in those spaces. But those things are relics.
That's the history. That's right. That's the history of 8 Mile Rock.
Right.
And the iguanas, when last were you there?
Where's that? In Eight Mile Rock? I just was home for the Christmas holiday.
The iguana's still there? That's a big part of history that is lost.
Anything that you name now that existed 40 years ago is no longer there. And some of the buildings are even gone as a result of the hurricane. Now, members of parliament, this is what I keep getting on them, they ain't even scoop up the thing and move the dirt. So it's just rubble in one area where there used to be something that actually spoke to the community and spoke about history. That's just what it is.
Okay. Okay, moving on. You know, you don't have to change to get into politics now. You don't have to diss the people to get into politics as hard as you come, you know, because every now and again comes along a great personality in either the talk show host, journalist, or whatever.
Hold on.
And so far, I deem you as one.
Hold on. You tried this. You think I tried to get into politics?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Go on.
Hold on. Yeah. I'm reading your future from my perspective for you.
Okay.
You see, because over the years, we've watched many of them, the greats come. There were a few greats come, and some of them had that yearning for politics, or they were pulled into politics. But I say this to say, nothing to demean or say against you. I'm for you in this. I'm saying You don't have to diss the public or the people. Because what's going to happen, if you keep bringing the truthful fire on government, they're going to pull you in. And so that's what I'm saying. I'm reading your future that you're going to get called in sometime in the future if you remain on this journey. Mm. And so I'm saying, in the interim, you don't have to diss the people. The more fire you put on them, the more they want you. That's the point I'm making to you.
I appreciate you, my brother.
So you don't have to diss the people, because some of them end up dissing the people to get there. I'm saying,
okay.
And that's why when I sit back and I watch some of them, how they move, you know, they were good, they were for the people, but at some point they switch, because then when they see that was coming, they say, well, no, I got to make a decision. So the decision is, I don't blame them. That's the
I see it.
Money.
All of us see it over the years.
Yeah, I go for the money, but what I'm saying, in the interim, you don't have to switch on the people, because people will always remember you were great, but guess what happened at the end? You failed because you switched on the people. You don't have to do that. You could still be great. You could still go and get it, because they can want you. They can want to silence you because you're too hard, and so they got to come for you. So don't worry about going there. Just remain with the people and remain positive. You know, and something you said about this this constitution, you know, I had this conversation with Sydney many times, and it just shows how some of our elders are so stuck in the past, you know. And this research you said you went and you've done has given you
I can't sleep
understanding of really what's going on. And that's why
I ain't sleep yet. I mean, I take a little nap, but I wake up and read the thing. My wife said, what you doing reading? Who are you talking to? I said, listen, baby, you think I'm cutting up with somebody?
And guess what? I feel for you, and guess what? And a good journalist do that, but then I want you to do that, but do it with a calm, because to get it right. You know, because we are speaking about a constitution of a nation. And this is where we have gone wrong, because in some instances, because a lot of us are not paying attention. Mm-hmm. And people like Sydney, those are stuck in the past. I'll give you an example. This morning I was listening to the show. What's the manager's show he had this morning? What's his name?
Dwight
Show. Mm-hmm. He had the minister who was talking about immigration. This is an example of where people like Sydney are stuck in the past, and where people like you are trying to move us in the future about this constitution. He was saying that if the Bahamian people want the Haitians that come here, the mothers that have these children, and then they come here illegally, they have these children, and this problem we're having with the children having a legalization after 18 years, when they can apply at 18 years, and this whole controversy with this Haitian issue. He is saying that we need to have a conversation. This is the minister this morning. We need to have a conversation, the Bahamian people, and decided they want to have a referendum to change certain things. And this is what you're trying to show Sydney. But he is just stuck on the Constitution speak to what the Constitution speak to and say. And that's his message to all the people. Stuck. We never had a referendum anyways to know that's who we are. For me, it's not who we are anyways. And you said it this morning. And so they're just stuck. And that's why this country's been run this way, because there are a lot of leaders that are stuck in that over. They don't want to have changes. But your minister just spoke to it, and kudos to him. He just spoke to it that, you know, we have to have some constitution on some of these things if we want it. We can't just be stuck in the same old, well, they have a right to apply at 18 years of age and blah, blah, blah. But you see, I want you to do this with some calm and get it right. See, and I want you to ask Sydney a question I asked him, and he ran around the mouth very bush with it. The constitution also says a prime minister should not be minister of finance. Let him answer that for you. Talk with you later.
Thank you, my brother. I do appreciate your telephone call. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be a part of the conversation, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or hit me up on the text 422-4796. The information's right there. We're talking good and being able to chop these things down. Independence is founded on the sovereignty of the country, but interdependent, which is one of the 2030 goals, states that countries submit sovereignty to the global world government order. This is already happening. Listen. Just do a little bit of research. Okay, I can tell you where my research comes from. I'll give you the citations. Because you would have to go to the Wolf Road library or go look for a library somewhere to find this information. And neglect the fact that you could pick this right up off the internet. And whether or not it has our sort of a label at the forefront, this is history. Watch me now. Let me touch a little bit right here. The British Commonwealth of Nations. This is from nationalgeographic.com. How the Commonwealth arose from a crumbling British Empire. The death of the Queen, I'm going to read a whole thing with you. The death of the Queen Queen Elizabeth II set in motion a historic transition of power, not just in Great Britain, but in the 54 countries across the world. That may, I read all of this. How I get in the National Geographic? Because this cannot be right. Something wrong. That we have traditional men in our society that continue to be able to agitate, advocate, and speak with strength and power of yesteryear about a constitution that was never designed for me. And he had none of me yet. So I had to go read more. Because we've accepted this position enough. Let's read further. Not just in the Great Britain, but in the 54 countries across the world that maintain the ties to the royal families as members of the Commonwealth of Nations, as an international organization composed mainly of former British colonies. I want to sift through this so you could understand. One Commonwealth realm, however, also announced its intention to hold a referendum. Watch me. It's the same thing we're talking about. The thing change? Nothing change. One Commonwealth realm, however, also announced its intention to hold a referendum of a British monarch as its head of state. This is in quotes. This is not an act of hostility or any difference between Argentina and Bermuda and the monarchy. This is what Gaston Brown said, as a prime minister of the Caribbean of Nations. This is what he told ITV News. He said, it is the final step to complete the circle of independence to become a truly sovereign nation. Watch me now. Watch me. But the Queen's death marked a new era, ERA. Even for the 40 Commonwealth countries and don't recognize the British monarch as their leader, such as India, Singapore, and Kenya. They will still recognize Charles III as the new head of the organization that works to protect the environment, boost trade, and support democracy throughout the world. Confused about how the members of the Commonwealth differ from the Commonwealth realms, the British monarch plays their affairs. You're not alone. Here's a look at the evolution, organization of the history by David McTire. Once described as a loose association of states whose relationship with Britain and each other often defined definitioned. The Commonwealth of Nations was born out of the slow disintegration of the British Empire, which covered a fifth of the world's surface at its peak in the 19th century. Its holdings spanned from Hong Kong to the Caribbean to the wide swath of the South and South Africa. Queen Victoria, whose reign was crucial, was critical in consolidating the empire, became Empress to India. Guys, you have to read this. I can't read all this on the radio to you, but you have to understand something. The apparent dissolution and separation from the monarch led to an allegiance to what? The Commonwealth of Nations, which in turn is the exact same thing. While you see India and many other regions take on a strategic position to say that we will not pledge our allegiance to the Queen's heirs and successors, they pledge their allegiance to what? The Commonwealth of Nations. Until the, I think it was 1949, when the Indian president, the information is right in here, I'm going to find it for you and I'm going to read it. The head of the Indian colony stood up and said, well, I don't think we should separate ourselves entirely from the monarch and the Commonwealth of Nations, because you never know, some things are out there looming in the, that's what he said. And that is the center, the entire Commonwealth of Nations. That's the same thing. Y'all stop, man. Let's talk. You see, because the perpetuation of an idea of a constitution that was written by people who ain't living here on the ground says to me, y'all stop the fight in 1964. That's what you're saying to me. You're saying to me that the fight after the women's suffrage movement, after Black Friday, Black Tuesday, after Majority Rule Day, after all this fight, the formation of the PLP, after everything that you would have done as a people to find interdependence and governance, you say, I got it now, I stop. It was a casual thing that happened 1 year before, watch me, in 1972. You set up the situation and say, all right, we can go next year, we can work on this thing to be able to get independence. The monarch had already decided that any Commonwealth territory who wanted independence, let's give it to them. But they had to pledge allegiance to the Commonwealth of Nations. Stop it. This was designed to give you the perception. And we still perpetuate the perception and realize that we have shackles. Let me talk with this man.
Excuse me.
My God, we went deep past 1 o'clock. I didn't realize it. It's Friday, baby. We're having a good conversation. Y'all chop it down with me. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4259. Hit me up on the text line. 422-4796. We can be back after the news.
Ain't no summer set, but it don't look great down with the disco up.
96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas. Divinius Grills Food and Products are now open in the Kenneth Plaza, Prince Charles Drive. Come, you must try the jerk chicken, jerk pork, and all their amazing grilled food. Grilled daily to perfection using all their amazing sauces made right here in the Bahamas. Divinius, grilling good food for life. Call or WhatsApp Divinius today at 817-4468.
Fidelity, we're good for you. With so much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you, on the move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-NASSAW or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, the Foundation with Howard Grant right here on this beautiful Friday. I hope you're getting geared up to take a sweet thing out. We've been having good conversations. At the top, it started off really casual and talking about where we need to go. But I just get hot quick. I mean, I don't know. Stop. I apologize to you. Because you don't need to see me in passion about these things, but know that I am. I'm not a father that it may seem peculiar to you, but I've never grown up being lied to. My parents and grandparents, whether you like it or not, weren't one of the people that tell us about like Santa Claus and all these kind of fictitious stuff, right? That even if we had this kind of an idea that children would be seen and not heard, we sat in the midst of conversations that molded our minds. We found out information, accessing the encyclopedias, having conversations amongst ourselves, absorbing the information and understanding. And as we grow and grow and grow, that sort of tradition of transparency is what I give to my kids. And as I look back and contrast my childhood as an individual in 8 Mile Rock to what we've been ingesting from our governments over the past 50 years, it diametrically opposes. Diametrically opposes. Because the independence and interdependence, or the strength thereof, that we speak of, is a facade. There are strong men, but even history has shown us that the concept that existed within political organization crumbled, caused these men to come to their knees if you don't comply. This wasn't an opportunity to just comply and complain. This was merely comply. And so you ask, how did corruption creep in? By complying. And that's why the Free National Movement had looked at one point like a party that spoke to true liberty. Because they too committed themselves to a constitution. But in retrospect, as we look back, this constitution wasn't designed for me, point blank. We were incorporated in it after 64, but it wasn't designed for me. It was designed to perpetuate and retain the oligarch's position by giving law and order to Negroes. Man, talk to me. Y'all stop it. Let's take a telephone call. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Or hit me up on the text, 422-4796. Call you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, Howard, how you doing?
I'm good, man. What's happening with you?
Good. You know the amazing thing with history is we in a position where we have the heirs and the control of the majority of people, we can add, take out whatever we want to.
Mm-hmm.
There's a story to be told. And the story to be told is those same eight fellas, what left the BLB, 2 years into us getting majority rule before independence,
mm-hmm.
and form that FNL.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But they ain't tell that story, though.
They tell the story, but we ain't listening to that story.
Hold on, but this story is, let me tell you what happened. Let's shoot straight, because they're listening too. Every single one of them will tell me a different story when I sit at their feet. When we sit and write, I ain't got no kind of wire on me. I can't record nothing. My phone ain't on. Make sure they can see everything. And when we talking, they tell me a different story. But when they come here and formality, man, stop. I don't like foolishness, you know.
But that's true. But we read the Bible hours, and everybody can take what they want to take from that. We can read the same voice. And me come up with a different conclusion of what it means, eh?
Yeah, I can bite you.
Right, go along now. those fellas, it don't make sense to me that we going through that fight. And in 2 years, you leave? In 2 years of getting majority rule and the government, it don't make sense to me. And if you read the independence from 1970 from the UPP when they wanted to delay independence, that story is not being told.
These people telling us a version of history.
And listen, let me read something to you real quick, if you allow me to.
Go ahead.
A letter was sent in, and they had their point for the reason why they want to delay, not we didn't want independence. They wanted to delay it because they would prefer roughly 10 years to prepare the Bahamas for independence. The civil service is inadequate, and it will take years to train Bahamians for key positions.
Who wrote this letter? Where does it come from?
This is from the UBP.
Okay.
Right? And especially to train a diplomatic service. The present defense, the capacity of the Bahamas is neglectable, and the problems formidable. Premature independence would lead Bahamas into dependence on the USA, which is undesirable,
else
lay Bahamas open to which is infiltration and possibly invasion by Cuba, who has consistently tried to subvert other states in the area. The Bahamian people are not yet emotionally ready for independence.
Oy! Send that to me.
Induce a mood of euphoria, which coupled with over employment and consequent high wages has made the humans lazy and overconfident.
Send the thing to me. 8270111. Take the picture or send the thing. Send the link. I need to see this.
You got to see that, man. I'll
send the thing
to
me. 8270111. I got to see it. Let me tell you why, because I can read this. I appreciate your telephone call, my brother.
Okay,
thank you so much. I can read this little piece. Watch me. That is a letter that the UBP sent back to the monarch. The reason why the UBP would send a letter back to the monarch to speak about independence and say, give us 10 more years, is because the players was in a strategic position of making significant wealth. And liberty could mean something else for them. So the UBP would send a letter back to the monarch. But the monarch had a different position. What was the monarch's position? Let's read it. In the aftermath of World War I, however, rising nationalism in the dominions, which had fought alongside Britain, sparked a push for more than just self-governance. In 1962, Britain and the dominions agreed that they would all be equal in status, united by a common allegiance to the crown. The declaration formalized in 1931. The declaration formalized in 1931 with the stature of the Westminster ushered in the official founding of the British Commonwealth of Nations. The monarch was not concerned about your independence because your independence was only for the perception and giving you the idea that you had the strength. This is interdependence. They're going to let you run your own thing. But your allegiance still had to be to the monarch, not through the official concept of how it was before, by Commonwealth of Nations. Let's read further. India finally won its independence from Britain in 1947. India was heavy on this Mahatma Gandhi run, and they were trying to find their independence during this time. The article speaks to the whole thing. But it wasn't ready to split entirely. This was, now we're talking about 1947. They wasn't ready to split entirely. Now listen to me. This is heavy stuff. Right? It says that 2 years later, the newly sovereign country asked to join the British Commonwealth of Nations with a few conditions. While India would accept King George VI's as head of the Commonwealth, it would be the first country to join that didn't swear allegiance to the crown. Then Prime Minister Jawaharlal Nehru, right? I hope I say that wrong. Jawaharlal Nehru delivered a speech before India's parliament that explained the decision. Watch me. Interjection. His speech changed the entire trajectory of the British Commonwealth of Nations. What was his speech? Here's an excerpt. It says, in the world today, where there are so many disruptive forces at work, where we are often on the verge of war. Why did he say this? In 1947, this was on the heels of the Second World War. Let's shoot straight with the thing, right? War. On the verge of war, I think it's a safe thing to encourage the breaking up of any association that one has. Watch this. It goes further. He says, the member nations agreed to those conditions, and in 1949, they issued the London Declaration allowing India, Pakistan, and Ceylon, or Sri Lanka as we know, to join as free and equal members. The declaration reformed the Commonwealth of Nations, one that would admit other independent nations without swearing allegiance to the crown. You don't have to swear allegiance to the crown. You are a part of the organization. This is wild to me. Why does us as people have to be able to, well, you know, we're really swearing our allegiance to the crown. You don't have to swear allegiance to the crown. You here, baby. You in the thing. 323-623-2325-4316, 325-4259. hit me up on the text 422-4796. It says, Howard, can you text me the number, please, for the gentleman who was on your show with the clean clappets? Okay, let me get his information. I'll text you that also. Howard, you were talking sense. The blind and the brainwashed continues to lead the blind. If we are independent, why do we need a representation of England Governor General, which approves and disapproves, make proclamations, and the list goes on? Continue to enlighten our minds. We need to be directed to the truth. For the book, the good book declares, truth will set you free. This is a text that's actually coming through. Howard, can you please send me the link of what you're reading from? I can get that stuff for you right now. Let me read it out. There's a text on the telephone call on the line. Caller, you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Caller, it's talking away so long with you, Howard.
Good afternoon, my brother. How you doing?
I hardly can hear you.
I right
turn
here,
up
man.
Turn up your volume, please.
I right here.
Good.
You can hear me now?
A little better. You know, we need justice law in this country. The thing is, you know, I always was saying that we are not independent. See, the thing is, right now, the Crown is still head of the House of Assembly. And who are under the Crown? Those people that are in the House of Assembly, what we vote for. See, they think we are stupid.
Okay.
You know, we got to try to get out of this tangle that we are in one way or the other. Mm-hmm. We don't need to be in this tangle. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
I'm right here with you.
Yeah, man, mm-hmm. We need to fix this. And we got to make them to know we ain't stupid. Mm-hmm. But you know what they're doing? They're trying to emasculate the masses as they are. You see what I'm saying? Because
mm-hmm.
the Crown are over them. And they try to make believe that the Crown ain't saying anything. They're trying to make us believe that. Mm-hmm. You got me?
I'm right here with you.
Thank you.
Okay, my brother. Thank you so much for your telephone call. Let's hold on now. Before we go into the next call, let me read a couple of things because I think we have these things mixed up. The Commonwealth of Nations still exists. Let me show you some things, right? There is one, the Commonwealth realm, two, republics, and three, the monarch. So there's three divisions to the Commonwealth of Nations, right? The Commonwealth realm, let me see if I can be able to explain this to you. Let me get it up. United by a common allegiance, the slowly dissolution of the British Empire began in the late 19th century with predominantly white colonies such as Canada and Austria were granted dominion status, meaning that they could pass their own laws, which would be subject to royal approval. In 1926, Britain and the Dominions formed its British Commonwealth of Nations, agreeing that they would be united by a common allegiance to the crown. But when India declared its independence in 1947, it chose not to swear its fealty to the crown, opening the floodgates for other countries to join the Commonwealth under the same condition. With that, the organization officially became the Commonwealth of Nations after they agreed to this. The Commonwealth of Nations. India finally won their independence. They started to talk about that. Let me see if I can find this information to you. It started to talk about today there are 54 members of the Commonwealth of Nations, which tackles initiatives related to trade, environmental protection, education, and more. Members have no obligation to one another, but are united through what? Their common values. What is their common value? It only could be the what? Crown. Talk to me, right? It's united through their common values and, for the most, their shared histories as former British colonies. Commonwealth members has seen significant churn in more than 70 years since it was formed. Ireland withdrew from its organization in 1949 when it officially became a republic. While countries such as Fiji and Nigeria were suspended during a period of autocratic rule. Meanwhile, Mozambique and Rwanda became the only two countries without any historical ties to the British Empire to join the organization in 1995 and 2009, respectively. Both countries sought to take advantage of the diplomatic and economic ties, because that's what they still have. That's where your allegiance lies. The diplomatic and economic ties that members would bring. Many other countries joined the Commonwealth by winning independence from Britain in the mid and late 20th century, including Barbados, Cyprus, and Singapore. Papua New Guinea joined after gaining independence from Austria and former British. See, we have to know these things. Watch this. And this is where I want to get at with you. However, 14 members still do recognize the monarch, known as the Commonwealth Realms. These countries include, watch me, Australia, the Bahamas, Brazil, Canada, Grenada, Jamaica, New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, St. Kitts, Nevis, St. Lucia, St. Vincent, and Grenadines, and the Solomon Islands. So they start to name these particular things. And that is why we're not having a conversation about detaching ourselves and becoming a republic. If you do history, you'd recognize that no matter your agitation outside of the realms of governance, when you step over that threshold, there are rules, regulations, and treaties that exist that you must align yourself with if you intend to be able to rule in a Commonwealth realm. Let's take a next telephone call. Caller, you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, Howard. Good day. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Fine, thank you. I have a question. I've always been hearing from the PRP that the UBP at the time and now FNM did not want independence for our country. But listening to you read that, it seems like it was something completely different. The real story was never told.
The PLP is responsible, and see, they have to tell the truth. The PLP's responsibility was agitation, relentless agitation for majority rule. That is where the separation is. The PLP was able to jump and add this to the bandwagon and step into this perceived independence. Let's be very clear about this.
And rush? You mean rushed into this? Well,
they didn't even really rush. The monarch has decided. The monarch already had this thing packaged up. You didn't fight, and that's why I keep saying we didn't fight for this. We fought for majority rule. We got what we fought for.
Oh, that's what I'm listening to, because had we waited a further 10 years, we would have probably been in
there. If it was for the UBP, if it had not been for the PLP pushing this kind of a concept against the UBP, because you remember, the PLP is the oldest organization in this country. The oldest political organization in this country. Their formation was at the height of when issues were concerned in this country. As at the height of the women's suffrage movement, of Black Tuesday, of Burma Road Riot. They was at the height of that. So there was always the one that people would run to and say, hey, listen, we have an issue with that. The PLP capitalized on that. And as a result of capitalizing on that, this package that was set up for all Commonwealth territories, for you to be able to accept this concept of independence by joining your allegiance to the Commonwealth of Nations, the PLP walk right in and take their package.
So had it not been for that, we would have been possibly independent by now. And they're not saying this. They are telling us on a regular basis, especially when you see it coming down to election, they like to make you believe that, or independence, they always like to say in some of their party advertisement that the FNM / UBP party did not want the independence for this country. But I'm glad that the truth is now out and that needs to be published, because I would like to read that also.
The information
myself.
There, all you got to do is type it in your phone. The true position of independence. That's when you start to type things that just ask Google these questions. Once you ask Google, they can send you to all over them. I tell you, I really going down a deep rabbit hole trying to figure out why does our traditionalists still agitate for this concept of the Constitution, and we don't see this thing happening out there. And
wow.
That's what I do.
Wow,
right?
That shocked me today. That shocked me. I really would like to see that out there more. So at least for once, Bohemian public would know, you understand me, why we stand, because so much people like, we're not independent, but they don't know why.
Will you look at it? I appreciate your telephone call. I got a couple more coming through. Thank you so much for your call. Let's just read it. Somebody texts me and says, Howard, you're mixing up constitutional issues with socio-political issues. Am I? Shoot straight with me. Be clear with me in your position. How am I mixing up socio-political issues with... Listen, you know who did that? The PLP. I didn't do this. The PLP did this. The 70 years that the PLP continues to be able to celebrate and identify and so forth and so on was as a result of the fights on the backs of the Bahamian people who were agitated with the working conditions on the ground. the working conditions on the ground after this aspiration and idea. I told y'all before, life is a circle. I told you, let's just be very clear about it. You think this fight that we had, there's no cameras, there wasn't a bunch of internet and interconnecting throughout. This wasn't a global community. This was, we was in our small world here. This was just an island. This was just islands, right? Connected by a common theme under the Union Jack. These were just islands of the Bahamas. This wasn't instant gratification and instant access into what was happening in Japan, what was happening in Nassau, what was happening in Florida, what was happening in New York. This was something that life did to us. Life did this. Martin Luther King's agitation for civil rights, Malcolm X's position, the Black Panthers, the this, the that, all these things happened simultaneously. And we found our fight also. And whilst we found our fight, our socioeconomic position, I'm not mixing nothing up. The Bahamas is a constitutional monarchy. Our constitution and what makes us what we are defined us as having a queen. My only point to you is not to deflect away from what the Constitution stands for. My point to you is that the independence that we celebrate, so don't bring this into a constitutional conversation. I've already said that the Constitution was given to us. We made modifications to that to be able to accommodate for the majority who we are as Black people right after, just before 73. But they didn't make any significant changes to that. Let's just shoot straight with the thing. This is not a socio-political issue. The PLP rode in on this wave. They did. And they were able to celebrate it, and I take nothing from them for that. This is not me saying anything is wrong with that. I'm simply saying to you, the agitation came from the people. The women's suffrage movement came from the people. Let me read a little something for you, and I can take a telephone call. I can read this for you. I tried to figure out, where was the inception of this woman's suffrage movement? Where did you start this? Where was this concept and idea? Where did this come from, this woman's suffrage? Who did it start with? Let's see if we can be able to read it. The suffrage movement of the Bahamas. The movement really started with a conversation between Mrs. Mary Ingram and her husband following his defeat in 1940-49 general election. The defeated candidate, who is Mr. Ingram, opined that his political fortunes could have been very different had women voted in that election. Other significant national events fueled the suffrage movement when Burma Road riots happened in 1942, a few years before. The general strike of 1958, a few years after. The labor movement of the 1950s. The civil rights movement of the United States and Dr. Martin Luther King was an international event that also fanned the flames that burned for social justice and equality in the Bahamas. Let's take a next telephone call. Calling on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Albert Grant.
How you doing, my brother?
Yeah, everything is okay. You know, this is a great show, Howard. You know, I like yesterday's show. I like how you're standing and the things you say, Howard. I like your sense of humor, so I always enjoy it. I don't have to call all the time.
I appreciate you, my brother.
Now, the information you read before the hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
One read that before.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed that. Well, I think one had read that before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the sentiments of the UPP. I think he read it before. I can't remember it verbatim, but the thing is, we all can agree that the Constitution is somewhat in some aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think Mr. Christie had called for a review. And some of the words they use is anachronistic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the things in the Constitution should be, I guess, should be changed or are outdated, like you say, or not for me and you, like the discrimination against the married versus the unmarried and all that,
mm-hmm.
as far as the wedlock and citizenship. But what I'm saying is, since the gentleman wanted this Sidney MacArthur Thompson, right? Mm-hmm. Which I disagree with him in any which event, because he makes Article 7 or the discrepancies within the Constitution look simple. If once you don't have an intellectual, honestly discussion about the changes and referenda, right? everything is just biased. This is what they talk about, based on interpretation. That's like, to me in itself, is really ridiculous. I've read Keith Ellis Layman's version, right? And so maybe we want to define the word citizenship and what it takes to be a citizen. And what they keep coming up with, right, they mention naturalization, but they also mention pledging allegiance. Hello?
Already,
you understand me, right?
Yeah.
So then the question then becomes, what is a citizen? And we have to get technical about what is a citizen. You understand me, Mr. Grant?
Mm-hmm.
And so this whole immigration issue is really based on lax laws and corruption, because then you have people, let's say someone comes here on a work permit. They have a renewed work permit for 5 years straight, and then they went another couple of years without doing it, but they didn't leave the country and come back. So I spoke with my Jamaican friend this morning, who's to work for the lady, because I brought him in plain hands on work permit. And I knew that once it was consecutive, I would apply for an extension, paid once to submit just the application, and then you wait on the permission, right?
Mm-hmm.
The permit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then once he leave, like he want to come back now, I have to get it before he arrives. And so the fact that you have... We know what's going on in immigration. And he mentioned the Constitution as far as the Prime Minister shouldn't be the Minister of Finance. There's also that they shouldn't bother with the tenure of the Commissioner. There's also parameters as to how many cabinet ministers there can be, right, Howard?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
The answer is no, right?
I don't think so.
They are not.
Right.
You know, they are not. And so then the question becomes, like I said, we can talk about Constitution and rights, and I even get mobbed with some words, democracy, sovereignty. They don't really exist unless you fight for them.
Not here.
Yeah, they only on paper. But Howard, that's why I like you, Howard.
Not here.
But Howard, that's what I'm saying. So Lincoln being the Bahamian people in the States, right? Were saying they got permission to.
You know what they're fighting for? The sovereignty.
They got permission to protest for the embassy in
Miami.
And here. And so they was granted permission right away. And so that is democracy, not hypocrisy. And so then, look, the talks about independence and all the narratives, right? But what I'm saying is, even the word empire offends me.
Mm.
And so, because of my level of knowledge about history, and so it offends me. And so, one of the British colonies you forgot was the Falkland Islands,
mm-hmm.
which is about just under 8,000 miles away from Great Britain. And so, then, how could they own a colony that far? So when you look at imperialism, colonialism, anyone who says that they shouldn't, these European colonial powers, et cetera, developed countries shouldn't pay reparations, they are really being limited in their, they're either limited in their knowledge about history, and they really think like, Mr. Grant, they have already given a lot of monetary reparations to countries, you know, Japan, the Middle East, you know what I mean? And so anyone in global agendas knows the significance of geopolitics on inciting wars and creating unrest in the East, in the Third World subregion, and wherever. And their influence, all right? And you can look and see their influence. There's an article called Study Memorandum 200, Third World Depopulation. It's also known as the Henry Kissinger Report. It's declassified, so don't be afraid to read it. But what I'm saying is, if truth be revealed, if everybody on Earth knew all the history, then we'll have a better world. But until then, we'll have obfuscation. We'll have people being subject, and then they believe in it, what they're thinking is right. But, you know, our Constitution doesn't exist if we're not willing to fight to uphold it. So the fact that no one is coming to really discuss this quagmire, conundrum, dilemma, whatever, about Haiti's not being able to renounce their citizenship. They need to come clean with the Bahamian people and bring this to the forefront. And then and on top of that, I don't see even mentioning with Bell. I listen to me. Bell, all right, you know. But what I'm saying is I don't sense the form of urgency and the government. They lay back. They joking. In other words, they're doing too much talking. There's so much things they could do on the ground. He's saying the raids. But Kai Mills sent a video with the Haitian migrants selling out of their box trunks and doing things that people can't get away with. They have the Ministry of Health, all of you. I wanted to open up a getting license since my mom died. They come and then they have a bathroom. Some businesses running without a bathroom. I have a policy shop. I mean, the customer will come and they need to use the bathroom. But all kind of little impediments, even for me, you know, as far as a business license. But what I'm saying is the Haitian migrant are getting away with a lot of stuff, even in the small businesses, no receipts being given out, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is the government is allowing this particular demographic to get away. It's no doubt about it. So then the question becomes, why can't we rely on other migrants for labor versus just trying to facilitate these people all over Haiti? Man, where are the local fee people, man? You're mm-hmm. all about flying over the place. I'm in Haiti. Listen to me, man. We done mix with them. We done miscegenated with them. It's time for us to deal with ourselves and the people who are here now. They need to get it together. and try to show these people them that you can't. There's too much. It's just the numbers in itself is a national security issue. Yeah, but you hear Kai Mills saying, Abaco, how could you be a prime minister of a country and a national security minister that the burden falls on them now because all
the... Send Kai Mills stuff to me. Send it to me, 8270111.
Yes, sir. Bless
I appreciate you, telling, of course. Send it to me. I always enjoy Kai. I just want to touch some stuff with you. If we could be real, can we be real today? This is our space, okay? This is the foundation. I want to be honest with you. I don't want to lie wrong. I'm never one to back down from these things. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I ain't have no problem with that. I ain't going to always be right. But I can do the research based upon what's written down here to see if I'm making sense. Now, when we start to have a conversation about this concept and idea of referendum, because of the convoluted nature of our political divide in our country and how people perceive politics in our country and the lack of education, strategic education that's been delivered to the people, right? The lack of empowerment and understanding in these particular things. When you see voting, especially for referendum more specifically, and we've seen that for the rhythm of Earth, history has shown us. Over the past, people don't go and referendum. You know what a referendum is? It's be a referendum on the government. If the government said that we need this particular thing, no matter how bad we need it, it was a vote against the government at the time. And they knew that. Our former Prime Minister, Hubert Ingraham, would indicate that if you lose the referendum, and they already then set this tone in the House of Assembly. They set the tone for something so significant as a referendum to change constitutionally where the direction of this country. They set this tone with the base of politics. Silly. Absolutely silly. And the fanatics jump up and join the line. Let's take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Excuse me for me to interrupt, Sean. Boy, come. And the quick reminder to say, this coming Friday, I'm please gonna roll with the blonde. You went to see my number one town around town. I did some Friday evening. Boom! The people have died.
Introducing
the new tortilla lime crunch chicken sandwich from Wendy's.
A bit of everything, avocado, taco mayo, pickles, and crunchy tortillas on top of a delicious breaded chicken filet. Yes, try it and add our all-new Dave's Craft Lemonade to your combo. Wendy's, different inside and out.
Whether your business on the go or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Excuse me for me to interrupt, Sean. Boy, come. And a quick reminder to say, this coming Friday, I'm please gonna roll the blonde. You went to see my number one town around town. And it's a Friday evening. Boom! The people have tired of working. Ba-da-ba-da. Lord, them hear the disco playing. Boom! It make them feel like dancing. Ain't no summer set. Britain will be great down with the disco operator.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company. I'm sitting straight up now. This is the foundation. I'm sitting straight up because y'all got me thick in this thing. Man, listen, and it's hard to have these conversations because I know what's being said by traditional men who seek to keep the peace. I watched a documentary with Who Killed Malcolm X. Did you watch that? Over on Netflix, right? I think it's about six episodes, right? I think we have to have a whole show about this kind of a concept that exists here, right? I watched a documentary about who killed Malcolm X. Now, this guy did it. He was supposed to be a part of the Nation of Islam, right? And I say supposed to be because I need you to watch it twice for you to understand that there are still operatives at foot here. They're still operatives designed to be able to perpetuate a particular idea, right? They want you to be able to shift the narrative. Okay? So they would prefer to be able to say whatever they can because dead men tell no tales. And so to keep the integrity of our organization, we will perpetuate this idea and give you this idea. Watch me. This guy got so close to a gentleman by the name of William X, who was allegedly the person who actually shot Malcolm X with the sawed off. He got so close. It was five persons that were named. One person said the two people that y'all lock up for over 12 years were not the persons who did it, blah, blah, blah. Watch the documentary if you're interested in this kind of stuff historically, right? And then you contrast that by what's in there. And then you read some declassified information because the CIA had a responsibility for releasing this. Then you realize the CIA followed Malcolm X all the way when he went to... where did he go? To Mecca. Follow him all the way to Mecca, right? The CIA was on this man trail all the whole time. They record every single... And then... You know, was the biggest person who's recorded? Elijah Muhammad. So I'm watching this. And the guy get to this point where he says, William X, which was his name originally was William Bradley. And then he's changed his name in the organization to William X. And then he changed his name to Shabazz. Al-Mustafa Shabazz. That's what he changed his name to. Three times the man changed his name. And then he became like this boxer after he went to jail in 1993, came out, so forth and so on. Watch the documentary. And every time he got closer and asking people who was William Bradley, these people who were open to have all the conversation would stop. And they say, leave that alone. Leave that alone. Hey, man, listen, brother, you need to leave that alone. Yes, now. This has been almost 50 years, the man been dead. And the men who were there, cowards. Cowards. And you ask them, listen, we watching the whole thing. Every time he asks them something, they give all the information. And then he say, tell me about William Bradley. Hey, brother, leave it alone. You know, sometimes you got to leave that. They had Cory Booker, who was the former mayor in that particular jurisdiction at the time. This is New York, New Jersey. Cory said, I don't know. I don't know about that. Cory had the man in a commercial. My point to you is that history could never be right-sided and aligned to be able to ensure that the next generation make the right steps for growth unless cowardice men stand up and grow some backbone and speak. Speak with clarity and strength. Fortify your position with your name and a full stop. Let us know the truth. There cannot be a conversation that we need to know clarity because all you can do is say, Howard, you don't know. Okay, I don't know. Can you inform me? No. I can write a book and when I die, they can probably say, excuse me, you need to shut up then. Shut up. Shut your mouth up. Sew it up. Because if you're not willing to be able to right the wrongs that many of these men perpetrated and was associated with, then we will always perpetually be in this position. That's all we can do. So when young, curious minds who has a desire to be able to, because this is not a young mind who says, let's leave the Bahamas. Let's go to Canada. Let's go to Florida. It's not one of those young minds. This is a young mind says, how do we get to the root cause of where this issue is? How can we fix this? Let's get back to it. So I start to go out and have conversations with these men quietly. I know journalists to be able to take nothing. First thing they can say, now Howard, it's between me and you. Don't call my name. That's what they tell me. This big grown man, gray mouth. You then got your 98 children. You then live your whole life. The only thing that could revive you periodically, depending on your age, is one of the little blue pills. Talk to me. Let's be very clear about the thing. Huh? That is where you believe life exists. And vitality and popping these pills and 3 hours later, you feel like a man again. Let's be very clear about this. Men who had lived their time and contributed, now I'm seeking clarity to understand how can we right these particular wrongs. The same thing they tell your boy who's trying to figure out who William Bradley is the same thing they tell me. You know what they tell me? Howard, leave that alone. Leave that alone. Leave that alone. You got your young family. You need to take care of your family. Leave that alone. That's what they're telling you. So when we can get to the bottom of this thing? When? You all will write all the whole world down to the ground and give all kind of information and details, and then you put Professor Xavier at the bottom of the paper and to the letter to the editor. You wouldn't even stand behind your words. Because as I'm reading this, I'm trying to figure out how this particular person who's writing this have so much knowledge, intimate knowledge and details, but wouldn't put their name. You know why? Because you were an accomplice. You was a part of the darkness. And now you're seeing the light and the scales fall off your face, your eyes, as you pursue this kind of a walk from Damascus, and you had an encounter. But even that encounter wouldn't allow you the opportunity to change your name. So you're going from Paul to Saul in the newspaper. Man, let's talk, man. You all stop playing. Either we can get the thing right or we're not. Somebody texts me and says, Howard, stop letting these people spoon feed you, man. He said, you can access the governor's reports in the Royal Hadsard. And those reports have been declassified. This year, the reports from 1972 will be declassified. The UBP can send a letter, but it was the governor who reported it. The founder of the nation had to be strong-armed by A.D. Hanna and Carlton Fantas to push independence forward. These are some texts that's coming through. We've heard these stories, but what good are these stories in vacuums? What good are these stories in your bar rooms and your smoke rooms? Either they're going to be true and right, and you can be able to stand behind what you say, or you can tell it. You might as well keep it to your chest. Let's take this last telephone call. Call you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, Howard. What's up, bro?
I'm good, man. What's happening with you? Let's do it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. That's all I want to say. Thank you very much.
All right, no problem. You're welcome, sir. Next week, Thursday, I want you to call me. Please. I want to do something. Maybe someone. I have someone along with me. Want to do like maybe donate one or two tablets, three tablets, four tablets. And I don't know how you can give them out, but call me next week. Watch the Allies to Live.
Okay, my brother, I will do that.
All right, and then, you know my number. Just call.
I will do that, my brother. Thank you so
much. And
you have
a blessed weekend, you and your family.
I appreciate you.
Yes,
I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
All right.
Okay? Listen, man. We're having a good conversation, and I like to talk like this. I might as well tell you the truth. I like this. I enjoy this because this is the same conversation I have with my guys. 80 years old, 85 years old. Once you got strength and you could sit down here and have a conversation with me, be good. I'm sitting here with you. You could drink your cranberry juice or your Guinness, whatever you want. I don't know what you're drinking. But we here, and I want to talk with you because I need to have a very clear understanding. What am I fighting for? Is this a country that's designed for me as a Negro man, as a black man? Or are we perpetuating an idea that was designed for Europeans? Are we preserving an idea that's designed for Europeans? There are documents for places on the Eastern Road, for places on Village Road, that states that locals cannot buy this particular documents in this country that indicate after 73 that this location should be, no, it was before 73. This location or this piece of property can only be sold to Europeans. That's what the things say. Bananas. Crazy. Who are we fighting for in this country? Is this a perpetual hamster wheel that we keep running after that's keeping us busy but not productive? That's what we are, man. We're relentlessly busy running after nothing. And we're divided by politics. Politicians who have an agenda and understand the assignment, their alignment and their commitment, their allegiance is to where we'll always be once you step over that threshold. We wonder, all the time we wonder, well, how does manga come in my, sit down on my settee and tell me one thing? Then after you get up, you go and do something different. And no one say nothing about it. You know why? Because there is an agenda. that sits there. And when you pledge your allegiance as a part of this 14 country that's still a part of the Commonwealth realm, they give you the option now. They say you don't have to pledge your allegiance to the Queen. You don't have to swear on the Bible. But why? Once you step over and you take the assignment, that's what it is. My conversation with you is that we have lost, after the women's suffrage movement, after Mary Ingram in 1967 took on a particular position and started, was it 67 or 57, took on his position and started this and identified like minds and they agitated for things. After these things, after Black Tuesday, after all of these things, and we won this majority position and we ushered the PLP in, the documents say it, the documents talk about it. The PLP was designed. Let me read this last thing before we get out of here in these 2 minutes. Let me see if I can find it. I didn't close the thing up. Sorry about that. Now, hold up. The PLP was born out of a movement that embodied the hopes, aspirations, and feelings of a generation of Bahamians who were demanding equal work, majority rule, and freedom in the pursuit and to pursue any hopes and wishes that they dared conceive. That is the birth of the PLP. And that existed in the people. The party didn't give you this idea. The party capitalized on the idea that existed in your bellies. And because this idea existed in your belly, you were content once you saw a shift from a white face to a black and did no more searching after that to see if this is truly who we are as it relates to independence and sovereignty. We make a noise about it, but we don't really have it. Let's talk about it. Next week, we'll have a good conversation. We can get into women's suffrage movement. We can get into International Women's Day. We can be able to talk to Cindy McCarthy Thompson. Next week, the professor, hopefully he can be able to come in and do that. We're going to have good conversations. Dazzy's going to be with us on Monday. I thank you so very kindly, guys, for tuning in with us. Make sure you go down to the Tiki Hunt. Make sure that you go down to Devanya's. Make sure you call Mobile Garage. Make sure you get your sweets and treats from Platinum Pastries. Make sure you check out for your alopecia issues and your hair loss. Listen, we can go on for days. Thank you so very kindly for being able to support us. Thank you so much for being able to attend and apply yourselves. We're going to do our best to keep having these transparent conversations for growth and development of where we are and the expectations of the country that we envision. Forward, upward, onward, together. Thank you so much, guys. Have a beautiful weekend. This is 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant in your company with the Foundation. Guys, stick and stay. For Shivango Lang with Z Live right after this.
Excuse me for me to interrupt, Sean. Will you come? And the quick reminder to say, this coming Friday, and I'm please gonna roll the lawn. You went to see my number one town round town.
And it's a Friday evening, boom!
The people have tired of working.
Fana, Lord, they made the disco play, boom!
It made them feel like dancing.
Ain't no summer set. Britain will be greater with the disco operator.
5 double 18 and a 6 liter.
And this a digital sweeter.
See London to start up with the echo chamber.
Watch your man, play the play.
And they must tear up the game.
Them off is stepping with them cast it down and play.
Oh Lord,
play for divine.
The Foundation with Howard Grant is brought to you by Alive, Commonwealth Bank, Divinia Grill Foods, J.S. Johnson, Mobile Garage Technologies, Rev Bahamas, and Wendy's.